You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I am Patricia Traina. I contribute to The Athletic, Forbes, Sports Exchange, Inside Football, Big Blue View, and others. And my usual co-host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, he is off this week. He is away on vacation, lucky him. So I'm holding down the fort as we bring you continued content on the New York Giants. And for today's show, I am actually joined by a special guest. His name is RJ Ochoa, and he is the producer of SB Nation's Blogging the Boys. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys, who, of course, the Giants face a couple times a year, and kind of get a little scouting report on how the Cowboys are shaping up from RJ. So, RJ, thank you so much for coming on with me today, and let's talk some football. What do you say?
I say, let's do it. The Cowboys-Giants rivalry is a great one. It feels like we're on Sunday Night Football already.
for real, right? So, RJ, I've got to start with the obvious question. This is one that I've been curious about now, and that is the absence of Jason Witten. Of course, he's retired now. For many, many years, he was a thorn in the Giants' side. And I want to know, how are the Cowboys planning to replace him, or can they replace him?
Well, you know, it's impossible to replace who Jason Witten is as a person. And I happen to live in San Antonio, so I'm a big Spurs follower as well. To kind of shift into that gear for a second, you've seen kind of how the Spurs have become a little bit more dramatic lately. You know, you look what they got going on with Kawhi Leonard, for example, and that kind of stuff didn't happen under the watchful eye of Tim Duncan. And so that's kind of where I think they'll miss Jason Witten. And, you know, don't get me wrong, the Cowboys have far been as tight-lipped as the Spurs have been, certainly having a lot of public controversy, even in Jason Witten's era. But I think that's where they'll miss him. They'll miss his guidance. They'll miss his leadership. A lot of people got to see that up close and personal on the All or Nothing series this offseason. On the field, you know, there was this narrative sort of circling that Jason Witten was slow. I mean, to be fair, he was never fast. But there's certainly some apprehension there, I think. I mean, you're talking about the Cowboys haven't had to use another tight end since 2002. So it is certainly a stark difference. I bet, you know, it's a weird thing to go, okay, we need a tight end. You know, it's just it's a void that hasn't had to have been filled in almost 20 years. And so I think the Cowboys are just going to kind of work with what they've got. They've got some young guys they like. Rico Gathers is a player that is hyped up an enormous amount. I don't know that that's necessarily justified, but I think the Cowboys are just going to cross their fingers and hope that one of these options is good enough to plow through for a season at least.
And I can tell you, when Witten retired, there was that loud sound you heard was Giant fans across the tri-state area celebrating, because, as I said, he has been an absolute thorn in their side. So,
you know,
anyway,
that's great.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, that's great. And I think it's cool when, you know, I'm not a big Eli Manning fan, obviously, but, you know, I think that there's that mutual respect. I mean, you know, you hate that guy, but, you know, when he's gone, it's a bit of a tip of the cap. Like, you know, you made the game worth playing, so to speak, and Eli is somewhat, you know, I feel that way, I think, about him.
Great. Sticking with the offensive side of the ball, let's talk a little bit about Dak Prescott. He's entering his third season. He's done fairly well. He's had back-to-back 3,000-yard passing seasons. What are the Cowboys are expecting from Dak in year three?
Well, Dak is in an interesting situation. You know, late Monday afternoon, word broke that he switched agents. And a lot of people believe this is in preparation for next offseason when he's eligible for a contract extension. And, of course, you know, we've seen NFL quarterbacks, if you're a legitimate quarterback, maybe not even the best, you get paid like the best just because that position is so difficult to find. And so Dak is at a place where he had obviously a phenomenal rookie season. He had a great start to last season. And when the Ezekiel Elliott Jenga piece came out of the tower of the Cowboys, the whole thing collapsed, Dak included. I think that Dak has been, I don't want to say unfairly criticized, but it feels like people are overly critical of him. And this, of course, is ironic because he's the quarterback that follows Tony Romo, who was incredibly, you know, criticized and really wasn't valued until it was too late because of Dak. So I think that Dak is in a spot where he's progressing. You know, I don't think he's on the same level right now as Carson Wentz, who I'm sure is a new thorn in your side. But Dak is certainly on the rise, and I think that he's going to be the franchise quarterback of the Cowboys. I think everybody believes that. It's just a matter of, okay, you know, maybe the Cowboys weren't as prepared for these absences that as they should have been when they happened last season. And so it's about that. It's about that preparation, and it's about making sure that no matter what Jenga piece is removed from your tower, that you're not in a position to come tumbling down.
And keeping with the offense, the Cowboys, they shook up the receivers. They, you know, said goodbye to Dez Bryant. I believe they added Allen Hurns. When you look at the receiving core that they are putting together now, do you think, and I know the problem is going to be when they get on the field and they start doing it, but do you get a sense that they've lost some firepower, gained some firepower? I mean, how do you see the group that's shaping up for 2018 as being different, either good or bad, as opposed to, you know, groups they've had in the past?
I think it's a really interesting thing. That's probably the part of the team that I'm most fascinated to watch this season. You know, Dez Bryant is the all-time leader in touchdowns in franchise history, and there's no question that he's a very talented playmaker, regardless of whether he's on a team right now or not. But I do think there is something to addition by subtraction, so to speak. And I don't mean that with regard to locker room antics. That's the direction a lot of people take that in. And I don't believe, you know, from what I've been told and the things I've heard and the people I've talked to, I don't believe that Dak Prescott was pressured by anybody to feed the ball to Dez Bryant. But I do believe that if you're Dak Prescott, you're still a young player. Granted, you have a lot of authority as your personality and your position dictate, but this is Dez Bryant. He's the franchise's all-time leader in receiving touchdowns. It would be akin to a rookie quarterback coming in and operating with Odell Beckham Jr. You're talking about that person is a superstar on that team. And so I think that there is this innate sort of psychological pressure, this self-driven, you know, it would be like if I was a member of a basketball team with LeBron James, I would never shoot the ball, you know, because I would feel ridiculous. I would say, well, LeBron is over there. I'm just going to pass it to him because he's LeBron James. And so I do think that removing that internal sort of psychological roadblock, if you will, I think that frees Dak's mind, if that makes sense. And so I think that the Cowboys have a lot of receivers who have an ability to separate. They don't have a sort of a physical guy. Allen Hurns does kind of fit that mold. But I think that they're going to be an interesting group in a different way, a group, you know, sort of, and this isn't meant to be hyperbolic, but sort of the way we've seen the Patriots operate. You know, just guys that get open, Tom Brady tends to find them in the middle of the field, and I think that's what Dak's planning on doing.
Over to the defensive side of the ball now. I think the Cowboys have added a lot of young players over the last, you know, year or two. Can you talk a little bit about how that unit is starting to take shape? What Taylor has you excited about the defensive side of the ball? And then we'll kind of look ahead to how they're going to match up against the Giants' revamped offense.
Well, the defense is exciting, and I think you could, for maybe the first time this century, make an argument that the Cowboys defense has more talent than its offense. And I say that, you know, bearing in mind who the Cowboys have on their offensive line, but the Cowboys have a lot of young players in the secondary. Sean Lee is obviously Sean Lee. They have their first round linebacker, Leighton Vander Esch. They finally have a legitimate pass rusher in DeMarcus Lawrence. They have some pressure along the inside of that defensive line. There's, you know, things to like at every phase of the defense. And, you know, when you factor in that they brought in Chris Richard, the former defensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks, that's really, I think, the key to sort of making this thing grow. He's a different sort of fertilizer, so to speak, and I think that he's the guy to really take these tools and get the most out of them. And in terms of guarding the Giants, I mean, it's going to be insanely difficult to stop Saquon Barkley. And you know, I'm really excited to watch Zeke and Saquon go head-to-head, you know, game after game for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years. that's going to be difficult. The Cowboys do have some defensive line that I think can make that interesting. But Saquon's going to get the better of them, I think, a handful of times, hopefully not too many. And, of course, they're stopping Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, I think about Odell and the magnificent things he's done in his NFL career so far, and he hasn't really gotten the best of the Cowboys. I haven't ever felt like Odell beat the Cowboys single-handedly. So I feel like they do match up well against him, but they do have some younger players in the secondary. Odell's at a place now where he's a veteran wide receiver. He's been around. He knows everything. He's seen everything. He's been injured. He's come back. I think Odell's at a place now intellectually, physically, athletically, where he might be able to finally get the last laugh. And so I think it's all out in terms of stopping him when it comes down to it.
And, you know, you look at the Cowboys defense. Is there one player in particular right now that you think is maybe not getting a lot of love, a lot of hate, who is probably going to develop into that proverbial pain in the butt against opponents?
Well, I mentioned that DeMarcus Lawrence is finally a new pass rusher that the Cowboys have. You know, we can kind of feel finally excited about having one. But I think the guy who's kind of on the under the radar, but maybe not getting any real national love, is Chidobe Awuzie, the Cowboys' second-year cornerback. They took him in the second round last year out of Colorado. He had some hamstring issues early on, but he really showed a lot of promise later throughout his rookie season. And the Cowboys, you know, they said goodbye to Dez. Jason Witten retired, but they also released Orlando Scandrick, who had kind of been their stalwart cornerback since 2008. And so Chido is really inheriting the opportunity to be this team's star cornerback. And he's got a lot of personality. He's a very athletic young man. And specifically for him to be under the direction and the guidance and the tutelage of Chris Richard, I think he really has the potential. I don't want to go out on a limb and say, you know, to be the next sort of Darrell Revis or Patrick Peterson type corner. But I think that, you know, we're talking about the defensive coordinator here who had a huge hand in building the Legion of Boom in Seattle. And Chido is arguably his biggest weapon. And so I think that he's a player who, when this season is all said and done, could be sort of on the precipice of being one of the NFL's next best cornerbacks.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You're the defensive coordinator. How do you stop Evan Engram?
You know, as soon as I finished answering in terms of how the Cowboys would stop the Giants' offense, I mentioned Saquon, I mentioned Odell Beckham Jr., and I realized that I hadn't really factored in Evan Engram. And Evan is for what he did just as a rookie, and, you know, it's so impressive when you consider that rookie tight ends typically don't have a lot of success in the NFL. And so for him to do it, I mean, you know, ultimately I think my fear with Evan Engram is based on Eli Manning, because I think Evan Ingram's going to get the best of the Cowboys. I think Evan Ingram's going to be able to dominate in the middle of the field. I think Evan Ingram's going to win his one-on-one matchups with whoever he's playing against. He'll probably draw a linebacker more often than not. And I think it really depends on, can the Cowboys get to Eli Manning before he finds Evan Engram? Because that could be the new sort of thorn in a side in this rivalry and, you know, a bit of a flip of the script. And I hope not. But Evan Engram, I think, is probably the most difficult weapon for the Cowboys to stop in terms of the Giants' offense right now.
Just want to flip back to the offense. You've mentioned Zeke Elliott a few times, and there's been some, I guess, concern about his maturity level, I guess where he is, you know, where his head is at. Do you share that concern, or do you feel that, you know, now that Zeke has put all the, you know, the ugliness that he had to deal with behind him, that he's more focused, he's matured, or do you still have concerns with him?
Well, last offseason, I think, was very tumultuous for Ezekiel Elliott. And obviously what went on with his suspension and the appeals and whatnot. But, you know, people forget before that. I mean, around this time last year, you know, there were rumors about a fight with a DJ at a bar in Dallas. And there was obviously the St. Patrick's Day parade and things like that. Zeke has really, at least compared to last year, really mellowed in terms of what's happened in the public eye. Now, maybe he's just gotten better at handling that. But even if it was just that, even if that was the case, that does to me suggest a level of maturity. That does to me suggest, okay, you've understood the spotlight that comes with who you are. You know, early on, in fact, the preseason game that Tony Romo got hurt in Seattle, Zeke Elliott visited a marijuana dispensary in Seattle. And that was, you know, it's perfectly legal in the state of Washington, but it was about perception. It was about optics, and it was about understanding that. And it seems like Zeke really has come a long way in that regard. I think his national perception has been aided, unfortunately, by the fact that there have been other NFL controversies. When you look at Reuben Foster, when you look at now Jameis Winston, things like that, I feel like people are now starting to really, I don't want to say soften, but starting to understand, okay, this wasn't an isolated thing. This wasn't Zeke. The common denominator here seems to be something else as opposed to his internal behavior. So I feel a lot calmer, and I feel a lot more optimistic about that. Zeke's obviously still a young player, but he's a very promising player, and I think with 16 games, I don't think there's any doubt that he can lead the NFL in rushing again. And when you consider that the Cowboys fortified their offensive line with the drafting of Connor Williams in the second round, I think that Zeke is poised finally to really put this thing all together and really for the first time kind of pick back up off of his rookie season, because people forget, you know, the news of his pending suspension dropped the July of his rookie year. So, you know, up until the moment he finally finished his suspension, he was literally battling that his entire NFL career, as short as it was.
And then finally, I want to ask you for one particular matchup against the Giants on each side of the ball that has you most concerned, where you think maybe the Giants might have the advantage. And then similarly, where do you think on each side of the ball the Cowboys might have the advantage?
Well, you know, I mentioned Evan Ingram, and I think that that's certainly an interesting one, but somebody who has been a thorn in the Cowboys' side has been Janoris Jenkins. And you consider what he's done and the success that he's had against Dez Bryant, you know, it reminds me of the first series of the season last year when the Cowboys were in the red zone, and it seemed apparent, like the Cowboys and Dez were trying to beat Janoris, and it seemed like they were trying to force that issue. And that's just the fact of the matter. Sometimes there are guys that just have your number. Some guys are your kryptonite, so to speak. And while Dez Bryant is certainly not a member of the Cowboys anymore, I'm interested to see, can Allen Hurns be the guy to kind of, you know, break through that wall? Can Michael Gallup, the Cowboys rookie wide receiver, can somebody else, you know, sort of take down Janoris Jenkins? While I am certainly terrified of Evan Ingram, I'm more terrified in a fascinated way to see who can take down Janoris Jenkins. But beyond that, you know, I mentioned Eli Manning. Eli is such a wild card. And I think Eli is such a wild card, not just for the games against the Cowboys. I think he is for the Giants as a whole. I think the entire NFL season could pivot based on who Eli Manning is. Can he return to form? Is he still going to be the player that we've seen struggle? Things like that. And so if Eli Manning can put it all together, there's no question that there are a number of offensive weapons for the Giants. There's no question that they still have a defense that is capable of making plays. And while obviously this division boasts the reigning world champions in the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, the drafting of Zeke Elliott 2 years ago was meant to be the complementary piece for Tony Romo's sort of, you know, his final years, his sort of twilight years, if you will. And it feels like that's what the Giants are trying to recreate with Eli Manning and Saquon Barkley. Obviously, we never got to see Tony Romo and Zeke Elliott operate offensively together, but it could have been special. And the same level of could be special, I think, exists for Eli and Saquon and Odell and the rest of the toys there in New York. And so I think that that is a very, very, very colorful and interesting question mark as we enter this season.
Sounds good. I mean, it's going to be a great matchup. You know, like you said, Zeke on for the Cowboys, Saquon Barkley for the Giants. I mean, even though they're not going head-to-head, you know, to see who wins the rushing battle and you know, defenses, you know, you've got Lawrence, like you said, the Giants switching to a 3-4 where Olivier Vernon is now going to be the featured edge rusher, you know, the battle of the quarterbacks, so many interesting battles on the horizon when these two teams clash heads and there are two matchups coming up.
It's going to be great, you know. It's going to be one of those games. There's going to be somebody who, for some reason, ends up with both Zeke and Barkley on their fantasy teams. And that's just going to be the greatest game ever. Just sit back, kick your feet up, and just watch yourself rack up tons and tons of points. But Cowboys-Giants is a tradition I enjoy greatly, and I'm very excited to see what happens this season.
As am I. RJ, tell the folks where they can find all your work, where they can find you on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at RJ Ochoa, just plain and simple. And you can find all my work at bloginTheBoys.com, on the Blog and the Boys Facebook, the Blog and the Boys Twitter as well, everything just at Blog and the Boys. And, you know, we'll talk about the Supreme Team in the NFC East. You know, just that's what we do.
All right, awesome. Sounds good. So special thanks to RJ Ochoa for coming on with us. Giant fans, thanks as always for listening. We will be back later in the week with more previews, more guests, more surprises. So make sure you keep it here on Locked On Giants. Have a good one.